You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live, 100% real. Featuring in-depth discussion on movies and the art of filmmaking. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, 100% real.
Yeah. All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning, Charlie.
Oh, there we go. I was wondering who's to come on. Okay. Happy Friday.
Look, I hurt my neck doing that.
Can we get a neck brace, please? Oh, yes. I love it. Okay, so welcome to 100% Real. Today we're going to be discussing the new film From the Rough. With me, to my left, oh sorry, I'm Siobhan Hughes, by the way.
we'll just come back around.
Yeah. To my left, I have Diana.
Oh. Hello everyone, Diana Vaughn here. 100% real.
Yeah.
Can't wait to talk about what we're going to talk about
today. I'm Erica J. Green.
And I'm Lena Green. Not in association to Erica J. Green.
Clearly.
Does everyone know out there that you guys are twins?
I don't know.
I've never met this girl. Our voices sound somewhat alike.
You guys should market that. I know you're not twins, but like you guys really look so similar. You should just market that. Make a little extra money.
That makes no sense.
Go up for twin roles.
Yes.
But anyway, so we have a very special guest in studio today. We have Robert Bailey Jr.
Hello.
I was going to say the third.
The third? Well, I mean, sure. I guess that Robert Bailey is all that really matters.
And some of you out there might recognize him as Craig. I like to say Craig.
Craig. I mean, that's kind of how you have
to
say it.
It was very Friday.
Yeah, Craig. Exactly. After Friday, that's the only way to say it.
From the film.
From the film, yeah. Craig from the film.
Yeah, actually. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, absolutely.
Especially it's a little bit early. For me, this is early.
I know, right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to lie. It's early.
Okay, so the film tells the story of Dr. Katana Starks. She was the first woman and the first African-American woman to coach a male sports team, specifically golf, at the collegiate level. The film stars Taraji P. Henson, my girl, as Katana Starks, and Michael Clark Duncan as Roger.
Which I think it's probably good to bring up. This is probably his last film before he passed away, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He always plays those heartfelt parts that you just, this is a big guy who just makes you feel so much. I think that's what everybody loved about him.
When I saw the trailer for this, I was surprised to see him because he passed away a few years ago.
Yeah, I think it was 2012.
I was doing some math how long this film has been in the works.
Filmed the movie at the end of 2010, I want to say. So fall 2010. And it was just a very long process actually getting it released, so we're all very happy to see that, and it's of course great to see him on screen again.
I'm curious, how was it to work with him in one of his last films?
You see me laughing.
Moments there.
Absolutely. I mean, it was an amazing experience. First of all, he's just the sweetest guy you've ever met, and just a blast to work with. He's always joking, cracking jokes. I mean, I was always making fun of his voice because I'm really jealous. Yeah. I can't ever get that deep. You know, he just has such a manly voice. And so I would make fun of him. Not to his face, mind you. It was always with Taraji, but because she's like that, she would tell on me. She would literally call him like, yo, Robert's making fun of you. And then he'd just pop up out of nowhere. And he's really fast. So he'd chase me around the golf course. That was cool. And then of course, you would always find him in the gym of our hotel. And I'm a young guy. I'm trying to, you know, get into shape a little bit. I'm on a film. Like, man, I've been eating too much in New Orleans. I need to get in the gym. And then you walk downstairs and, you know, he's working out. He's lifting, you know, doing the bench press. And he's like, yo, Rob, you want to hop on this? No, Mike, I don't want to hop on that. Does it look like I can lift that? You know? But it was just an amazing experience working with him. He's just the best guy. You know, yeah. It's so great getting to see him again. Wow. You know, one more time. So
yeah. Especially in like a different role. This role was completely different from anything we've seen him in.
Absolutely.
I mean, it still had that like
the element,
pull on your heartstring kind of like
Green Mile element to it.
Sure, sure, sure.
Gentle
sure.
giant.
And him just showing off, you know, how much humor he has as well. You know, there's of course that heartfelt aspect to Michael, but he's very funny, and he gets to, you know, combine all those elements into this character, and I love that.
Oh, wonderful.
That's beautiful. When someone passes away and people can say beautiful things about them throughout their life, that's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Well, he will be missed. Next, we have Tom Felton.
Oh, you know, that's the little boy from
that's
Harry Potter.
That's
Harry
a man
Potter.
From Harry
I know,
Potter.
But I didn't know that at first. Yeah. And then when I was like, he done grown up.
Let me do you one better. Do you remember the movie The Borrowers?
Or The King and I. The King and I.
Right.
That's the son from The King and I with Jodie Foster and Chow Yun-Fat.
Yeah.
Yes, my boy, Tom Felton.
Edward.
Yes, absolutely.
They gave him the most English name.
Oh,
for
his character,
by the way.
Yes. Bassam and Edward. And, you know, we really just wanted to hammer it in. Craig, you know. Yes, everybody thought I looked like Ice Cube, so just. You know.
I love how you dress. They dressed you like you
like
dressed
in real life.
I wouldn't say all that. Well, okay, fair enough. Touche. It's funny because we had, you know, we're a low-budget film. We had a lot of clothes on loan from the community and that sort of thing. So, you know, when we first started out the film, because we're in New Orleans and it was leading up to my 21st birthday, so we did a bit of celebrating.
And the NOLA, of course
you did.
You don't have to talk about it.
You know, what happens, it stays there. So when we first started the film, you know, we kind of got fitted for clothes and it was kind of hard to find, you know, perfectly fitted things. But we're like, okay. And then, you know, 2 weeks into it, and we're just kind of struggling a bit. You know, we've been eating at all the restaurants. Taraji, you can't go to New Orleans without eating everything there.
Yeah.
Or she looks at you like something's wrong with you. So you're kind of forced to eat. And you have a couple of drinks here and there. And then you're just like, oh, these clothes don't fit a bit. So there's certain scenes I'm just looking at the film, and I'm like, man, yeah, you've clearly been having a good time in New Orleans there, haven't you? But maybe I do kind of dress like that.
You do. So preppy, like, preppy, going to a golf tournament every day.
No matter what. And I always have some sort of ridiculous jacket, even if it's, like, summer and I'm sweating real hard. It's not a cool thing.
Yeah.
It's not when you're dripping sweat, it's unnecessary, really. I can't help it, though.
Trust me, the past couple of days in L.A., we all know what you're talking about.
And I had jackets on,
What?
I don't own a pair of shorts.
What?
I went to Coachella for the first time last year, so I bought some, but I don't know where they are. And then I always have like some ridiculous boots on. I'm hot at all times, so I kind of should move somewhere else. But you know, I work here, so.
Well, you know who else is hot, Mr. Henry Simmons.
Clearly I'm going to grow up to look like that. So.
Kendrick Paulson Jr. And then we have Justin Chung.
That's his name, Kendrick Paulson Jr.
In the film, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we have Justin Chung, we know from Twilight. Yeah. And then we have LaToya Luckett, Destiny's Child. Mm-hmm. She plays Stacy, who's Tom Felton's love interest.
She did a really good job in the film.
She was good. Yeah. She surprised me.
Yeah. Well, she's on The Game. She does a good job on that show, too.
Oh, so. No, not The Game. It's Single Ladies.
No, Single Ladies.
Single Ladies.
Yes.
Yes.
That's Katana.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh. Well, yeah, that's Katana Sparks.
Yeah,
and of course, but back to the cast, we have Robert Bailey Jr. as Craig. Most importantly.
We need a picture.
Yeah, exactly. I'm right here. Hello.
Look, is that Robert?
Robert, I have a quick question for you. Were you the youngest member of the cast at the time when you guys shot this?
Yes, I was. Everybody was older than me, you know, mid to late 20s or whatever, and I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the little dude on set. And that was fun. I was like the little brother, and, you know. I think I have been for most of my career. It's only recently where I've done a couple of projects where there were people younger than me, and it's like a weird experience for me.
So from a professional perspective, like, what does that feel like? You're on the set of, you know, a movie, you know, based on a true story. Yeah. You're the young buck in there. What does that feel like?
It feels, after a while, it feels very comforting because there are so many talented professionals around you. Mm-hmm. And so you feel like you learn so much as you're going along, and you really grow into yourself and your role. you know, you just have so much confidence in the people around you, so it gives you confidence in yourself. So it was a great experience for me, you know, being young, getting to look up to these brilliant actors and learn from them.
And you've been acting since you were three or six?
I've been acting since I was six. I did a bit of child modeling when I was three. I was just taking pictures of my cheeks, really.
I wish we had those cheeks.
Same face, just bigger cheeks. You know. I wanted to be a Power Ranger when I was six, and you know, I went for it. I never did, but that was the goal.
You would have been a really good Black Power Ranger.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You were kind of like the last one who was.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Low key, back in the day,
it wasn't about like getting an Oscar or respect from my peers or anything like that. It was just I wanted to be a Power Ranger.
That was the goal.
So yeah, in that way, I kind of failed. But you know, otherwise.
Love
I'm doing
everything.
Right. I know. The child me would hate me right now. Yeah.
The film is directed by Pierre Bagley. Yes. Hope I'm saying that correctly, because he might get me.
He might get me. Sure.
And it is co-written by Mike
Critelli
Jr.
Young MC.
Yeah. It was actually his father who kind of came about the story from his youngest son's chess coach.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, who was really one of Katana Sparks' international recruits.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Right.
And so he kind of went to his son, like, let's just, you know, sell this. They actually just wanted to just sell the script.
Exactly.
They didn't want to really be involved in it, and then they brought it to Pierre, and he was like, why don't we just do this together? Let's just do it.
I was wondering, I saw something that said it was like several hundred thousand dollars to get the script adapted into a screenplay and stuff. Is that true?
I have no clue, because you kind of come on after they've, you know, figured the whole thing out. I know it was a very long process for them because, you know, it's their first movie that they're making, the Critellis, and so they found Pierre, and he's such an inspirational, you know, guy. Mm-hmm. When you get around him, he's just like, rah, rah, and, you know, let's get everybody together. And so, you know, I'm sure they invested a lot of money in getting it going, you know, because it's a difficult process, especially when it's your first time out and you're making connections in the industry, you know.
Yeah, you just never have any idea what all goes into making a film. We just see the end product.
You just see the end result.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have a question for you, Mr. Bailey Jr. So, you know, we were just talking about, you know, you said this was filmed back in 2010.
Yes.
So what, we're at 2014.
We are.
This film was what, like 4 or 5 years in the making? Yes. And I was reading that it had been released at the Essence Music Awards and a lot of like African American themed events. Mm-hmm. Why do you think, you know, it took so long for this to finally hit like the big major screen? Because we've seen, you know, feel good movies when it comes to sports and based on true stories. Remember the Titans and Hoosiers and things like that. What do you think that was all about?
Well, I think what I was just talking about, you know, it's your first film that you're putting together. So it's about making, you know, the connections in the industry and finding people to work with that will distribute the movie, that sort of thing. So I believe we had, you know, a deal in place when we first shot it, but, you know, it goes by the wayside. And so you spend time working the film to find the proper marketing and the you know, the people that will invest in the film because they want to see it a certain way. So it's gone through many different iterations, and it just takes a while to find the right, you know, concoction that will sell to the masses. So it's just a timing thing and kind of getting your feet wet in the industry and figuring things out, really. Yeah.
It's so hard to find people who want to make a film, a sports film,
yes,
with a black woman as the lead,
exactly,
about golf.
Exactly.
Times are changing.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Do you think that if this were about, and I'm not trying to, you know, break it down to race the time, but do you think that if this movie were about a white golfer or even an Asian, you know, coach, do you think that it would have gotten, you know, released a lot quicker to a mass audience?
You know, I think it's different in every case, in every situation. Because I know of many, you know, it's really about the independent film industry, you know, because there are many cases where there are stories with white leads that don't see the light of day because, you know, they can't find people to work with them to distribute the movie. Mm-hmm. So it can happen with any sort of thing. I know there are certain cases where investors aren't necessarily as comfortable because they don't know how to market a film like this, you know what I'm saying? Or they're not sure if, you know, if they put it out a certain way, if it's not an all-black cast, if – you know, black people will show up or something like that. You know, people have all sorts of different concerns. But it can happen to any sort of film. It's just about, you know, I think there are certain indie films with huge stars that don't make it out because it just happens. It's just the film industry. You know, there's never a guarantee, really. Mm-hmm. So.
You know, I like a lot about, I know I was watching a lot of the interviews with Taraji, and she was drawn to this film because she's never seen a film like this.
Yes.
What drew you to this film and your part, your character?
I wanted to get free golf lessons.
Because the time she came on the set.
Oh, yeah, she did, actually. Yeah.
That was amazing.
It was amazing. I mean, she taught me quite a few things, which was basically, I was horrible and
I
just needed to change
golf.
Everything. Oh, no. Yeah, well, I started... 2 weeks before we started filming, I never played golf before that, and I have many horror stories on the green.
Let's hear one.
Okay, well, so my first day, this is my first day showing up to be coached, and we're at the driving range, and there's like wooden posts, you know, separating, you know, each little putting green, or not putting green, but driving green rather, and so. I'm learning how to swing, and so I get up to my first ball, and I take a swing, and somehow I hook it so hard right that it clings off the post and shoots straight across all the other golfers, directly
like by their heads.
Yeah, like they're just in a straight line, just straight in front of. I nearly hit everyone at the driving range. So after that, people kind of looked at me with a bit of side eye. But hey, I'm learning. You know?
I thought you were an expert the way you closed your eyes.
I mean, can you play now?
See, no. I can make it look real pretty, but it's not very functional. It doesn't go where I want it to go, which is kind of the point of the game. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a bit bummed. The last cut of the film I saw, you know, they're cutting away to a lot of the putts I made. I was making those putts. I got a mean short game, and they're like cutting away as if it's movie magic. No, I was making that stuff, you know? Like giving my props. Right. But, you know, that's cool.
And you play a character who's really endearing. You know, you're a caddy who wants to play golf.
Yes.
And you haven't had the opportunity to really, you didn't think you were going to get to go to school to, and much less get a scholarship to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
Were there any aspects of that character that you found endearing as well, or that you saw a little bit of yourself in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole idea of gaining your confidence, you know, in yourself and not, you know, kind of feeling less than when you get around other people that you respect. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a, for me, a universal thing. Everybody kind of comes into their own, you know, when they're growing up and finding their own confidence in whatever they choose to do. And so it was a really personal story for me and seeing him grow up and you know, because he is very talented. And it's it was just a matter of him believing in himself, no matter who he was facing. And it's a thing that I think a lot of people go through. Yeah. And so it was just nice to be able to put that on screen and just say, you know, it's all about you and your belief in yourself, as opposed to whoever you're facing or whatever challenges you're facing. You just got to believe in yourself and you can make it happen.
And that, at its core, is what the film is about.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is a great message for young people, for people our age, people who are older who still maybe had a change in life and they want to do something else. You know, there are a lot of barriers in life. So.
Absolutely.
And I love how Katana talks about that, too. Like, in a lot of her interviews, she's like, I never stop pushing. So I want this story to inspire people to keep going.
Yes.
No matter what it is they want. She wants to inspire women to get into coaching because there's not a lot of, especially African-American women, in coaching. Yeah. And heading up, you know, big teams or anything.
Exactly.
So we could see that coming in the near future.
It took a lot of balls for her to volunteer to do that. Like, I don't think a lot of people would have, you know, said yes to that job.
I mean, if you meet her, you understand she's just such a strong woman and strong presence. And you can just tell that she's the type of person that would just take on a challenge like that with no hesitation, you know.
Well, and I thought it was interesting because golf, swimming, those are traditional sports. Come on, let's be real, you guys, that our people normally don't gravitate towards.
Swimming against swimming.
And so I kind of had a little, you know, inside chuckle moment just watching it, just thinking, okay, she's at a, you know, traditionally, historically black college, and she's, you know, coaching these two sports that, you know, normally don't see a lot of us. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was even more interesting about her, and it just, to me, it presented a lot more challenges for her,
exactly.
Just getting scholarships and money and being taken seriously as a coach and as a woman. So I thought that was interesting.
Which is actually interesting. She kind of got the job, but you know, the movie is kind of spruced up, you know, to appeal to Hollywood. So the true story how she got the job they actually did away with the swim team, and she kind of inherited the golf team from them doing away with the swim team.
So she was
teaching the men's swim team in the women's swim team. That came about when they got rid of those teams. Uh-huh. The golf team came about. So it was kind of like put into her lap after that. But, you know, in Hollywood,
to switch it up a little bit.
They have to make it.
And speaking on that, I read also that the original team was composed of
all black
people and one female.
Yes. I think there were a few different.
Well, actually, I'm looking at a picture right now, the original team. No, it looks like a sprinkle of color.
I think the real international team,
I think that happened more recently, like in 04, 05 or something like that.
Oh, Willie Magic then.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that they changed it up for the film to appeal to a broader audience, especially overseas? Because I know that's how a lot of smaller films make their money.
Sure. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I think it's just such a strange story that they just found it the most interesting story to tell because it's so, you know, odd. Historically, black college, but international players coming out. I'm the only black guy on the team. So, you know, it's like, it was just such an interesting story. I think they really wanted to focus on that time period.
I was like, look at Robert, because when I saw you at the premiere, I went up to you and I was like, hey, Robert, what are you doing here? And you looked at me, you're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And he didn't say anything. And then as soon as the movie starts, they have the one black character and it's Robert on the team. Like, okay.
That was a really random experience, you know. It's been such a long process of it coming out, and then you just get, you know, notified by the team, like, hey, we're releasing the movie. And it's like, okay. That's great. So just to see, you know, everything from like 4 years ago, it was like, wow, that was that time period. That was a very, you know, specific time stamp.
When that happened, did you think it was going to get released? Because I know years ago, and it's like.
Yeah, I mean, I know maybe like, the 2 years after we did it, I was like, this is coming out. And then after a while, you're like, maybe it's not. And so, but they were always very like, this is coming out. We're bringing this out. And you're like, okay,
it's so, Hollywood.
And they did. And,
did you
and,
think maybe? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No.
Did you think maybe like straight to DVD or
you never know. I don't. No. What I do. Uh-huh. This is why I've been doing this for a long time. I don't think. I just don't think.
Hey,
it just happens. It just kind of happens. I don't really, you know, worry about that too much because, you know, it's kind of out of your hands. Once you do the film, you know, it's out of your hands. And whatever will happen with it will happen with it. And you just kind of appreciate the experience for what it was. Mm-hmm. And so if it came on DVD, I'd still be really happy about the whole process. Yeah. But, you know, luckily we've been released in theaters and hopefully... You know, it keeps going and people enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, I think they will.
You did great work, Robert.
Well, thank you.
I was so proud. I was like, a problem.
Not handing my $20 that you said you were going to pay me.
Yes. That was, it's so funny as well. I was talking about how long ago we shot that. And it's just such a specific period of time for me, you know, where I was at that point. And so it was very fun getting to go back and watch that and then to where I am now. And,
yeah, you've probably grown so
much.
Yeah,
I mean, not height-wise, unfortunately. But, it's you know, I'm a very different person, but I still have many of the same aspects, you know, of my personality that I have back then. So it's like, you know, seeing a yearbook or something like that, you know. It's just like, whoa, I had that haircut, okay. or clearly I was trying to grow facial hair. That's cool. It's just fun to go back and watch that.
Yeah, that's an awesome thing. That's like a growth in your career.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Absolutely.
And I was also curious about like how casting was for you. How was that process? Was it a long one? Were you kind of nerve-wracked? Or I know I would be. Like,
yeah, it was fun, actually. I think it wasn't that long. It was maybe like 3 auditions total. You know, there's a lot of people always coming in. Not a lot of people, but like, you know, you grow up in the industry, and after a while you kind of know everybody you're going up against. So, you know, you're kind of having mini reunions in the room. Like, hey, what's up, dude? What are you up to? And so it was I still remember my last one, and it was a lot of fun because Pierre was in the room, and so he's always like, you know, cheering you on and making you do crazy stuff. And I think there was one scene where I had to, you know, golf, and I still remember my awkward swing. I clearly could not, you know, clearly cannot golf. Yeah. And one of the guys, other guys, had like a whole. He brought his clubs with him.
I can't. And I was like, you hate prepared. That guy, don't you?
No, no. I mean, I was just thinking, man, I'm glad I don't have to carry those around. I'm kind of lazy. But yeah, so clearly, I remember my awkward swing, and I'm just so thankful they didn't take that into account, you know, and let me train and make it look a little prettier. But it was just a fun process. I mean, it wasn't too nerve-wracking per se. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of getting into the character and going in and vibing with Pierre and whatever he was going with. He kind of just, you know.
He seemed like a really laid-back person, so I feel like you probably just went in the room, did your job.
Just for interviews. Yeah. I'm really high-strung normally. I take a lot of, you know, relaxers when I'm doing you know, interviews.
Can you share some? Selfish?
No. Yeah, yes, I am selfish.
Did you do a chemistry test with anyone? Like, for your last interview, did you do any chemistry test with Tyrese or anybody, like, on the team?
No, because, like, I don't really like people like that, and I let them know it was, like, not going to work out for me. I mean, it was actually, I think, a concern because there was no real time to do chemistry tests. It was like a very quick process. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us met for the first time either training for golf or at the table read. And not everyone was at the table read. You know, people were still flying in from wherever they were at. So we kind of all met officially in New Orleans. And so it was a relief for everybody, I think, that we all got it so quickly. Oh, exactly. Yeah. And that we could have a great time and you know, focus on work. And it wasn't like there were no divas in a negative way. There's, you know, of course, Taraji, but that's she's Taraji, you know. So it was just a relief that we all got along just had a brilliant time filming in New Orleans, you know.
Yeah. Y'all have great chemistry, so I was wondering about how that all came together. It looks like
it's called acting. That's what it is. It was really natural because we all got along so well. So,
quick question: as an actor, did you feel a certain pressure in playing this role, since it was based off of, you know, a true story? Like, did you feel like, oh God, I really want to get this right, you know?
No. I think the biggest concern for me was, you know, doing justice to golf, because I had no clue what I was doing, and I didn't want to, like, make it look ridiculous. And so thank you for the editing on that. Because it was such a, you know, a hodgepodge of characters, you know, that each character was based on, you know, it was a mix of people. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, you know, playing Muhammad Ali, you know, Will Smith, where it's like such a, you know, famous person, you have to get like every tick right. It was very much like a creation of different people, and you're just focused on the character. So it was like a fictional character that was based on, you know, many different people. So it wasn't too much of a concern. You're just kind of trying to do justice to the story as opposed to a particular person.
Yeah, because the characters were loosely based on. Exactly. Like, even Katana's character, that's not really like, she just wants the essence.
Exactly, yes.
All of the characters.
Yeah, because Taraji was nervous about that. She's like, how am I walking right? Am I talking like you? Said, don't worry about it.
Yes.
Just make sure you tell my story.
Exactly, that's what it was.
She captured, the vulnerability of very easily.
And did you have the chance to meet any other real life people from the story?
Yeah, not while we were filming. More recently, I met a couple of the guys that were on the team. Cool. But I think when we were doing the filming, it was just Katana came out to visit, and that was, of course, brilliant. We all have, you know, pictures with her just kind of cheesing, like, it's Katana. not during filming, but much, much later.
She seems like a really motherly figure who probably, like, really took y'all under her wing and just...
Very much so, but there's... it's like she's got a presence where you're just, like, you just immediately get around her and you're like, I'm not messing up on anything I'm doing in life. Like, I'm going to be on it. I'm going to stand up straight. And she doesn't have to say anything. She just, like, you better be on your game around her, you know? Wow. So she has that presence, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely. And I slouch a lot, so it's difficult.
I know. I'm standing up straight like this.
Exactly. Just like, I get on it. You doing?
So, like, a lot of actors, I know I personally don't like to read reviews or whatever. Have you had a chance to read any of them?
Are
you even concerned at all? Like, you don't really care?
Ooh, you know, there's always the temptation. Mm-hmm. I try to stay away from it because... for me, it's very much about the experience and the process of making the film, and I have my own personal feelings for that. And I think, you know, when you're reviewing a film, it's a very subjective thing for your own personal, you know, what you're bringing to viewing of the film can color, you know. So I don't necessarily want, you know, someone else's opinion and view to, like, skew my experience on it.
Yeah. Right.
I can, of course, hear, like, people's opinions on it. It's cool. But, like, to, like, actively go read reviews and obsess about what people are saying can be a destructive thing.
Yeah.
So you kind of just take the experience for what it was, and you have your own personal feelings about a project. And then, you know, if people dig it, then that's amazing. And if not, then... on to the next one, I guess.
Many of the reviews I read were actually positive. One of the ones, even on Rotten Tomato, said it was a well-deserved, kind of syrupy, sweet, overdue tribute to the African-American role model and trailblazer. So I thought many of the reviews kind of said the same thing, like this was something that needed to, a film that needed to come out.
Absolutely.
That needed to be done. So I
that's great. Yeah, that's absolutely, I feel the same way, syrupy, sweet. I think that was a comment on my cheeks. Again, but, you know, it's cool, I'll take it. But yeah, I absolutely agree, and I'm glad people feel that way.
Okay. Those are the best kinds of sports movies, though.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Where it's
yes,
just, like, uplifting, and you're crying, and you're laughing, and...
It's always nice when they have a message as well.
You know what, and this is great. When I after watching the film, I was like, it inspired me to, like, get on my game. You see this woman. I was like, she is on her game.
Yeah,
golf,
really,
swimming, I need to get on mine.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a lot of people probably would leave from... watching the film.
That's the idea, getting her message out. Like I said, you have to be on your game around Katana. So if we can, you know, put that message out to as many people as possible. I mean, amongst the other messages in the film, but that one, just having people inspired to, you know, do whatever they're passionate about doing and go for it. You know, it's a very important thing.
How do you feel the film resonated with male audience, having such a strong female lead character?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you put golf in a film, you know, people just get super amped about it.
Is that the male sport?
Like, football.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Really funny.
You know, I think it does resonate in a way, especially the way our team bonds. You know, we're very specific, you know, time period in a guy's life, going to college and trying to be a part of a team. So that's definitely an element to it, but I think it resonates with everybody, you know, from a family aspect, from a coming of age story and coming into your own, whether it's Katana in the film or my own character, and everybody really is coming to their own in their own way. So I think that's a universal thing, and I think guys can appreciate that just as well.
Yeah. Like, well said.
Yeah. I also think it's really important, you know, for your career as well, for the movie obviously to do well, but also in terms of just like having a black woman as a lead in a film.
Yes, absolutely.
We all need to go out to the theater right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's
like,
so
stop
many
watching
more...
this. Go to the theater right now.
and really,
wait, after this.
After this.
There's so many. Better. There's so many brilliant, you know, African American actresses, you know, that are doing so well right now, and it's beautiful to see. And I just hope they continue to get so many opportunities to lead films and to tell their stories. You know, I'm excited for, you know, the next, you know,
the
10 years
evolution.
Just to see what's happening and the next crop to come up.
I'm trying to get a piece of that pop.
I mean, absolutely. we're all telling beautiful stories, and I hope it continues. And I think it will. I think it's something that people are catching on to, and it's going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to ask you, speaking of evolution, I'm Segue Queen.
Okay.
What's next, Mr. Bailey? What are
what's
you working
next?
On?
What's next is a nap. What's next for me is at the end of this month, May 27th, I have a show coming out on NBC called The Night Shift. And it's about a group of doctors that work the night shift at a San Antonio hospital. And I'm a very young doctor. The first episode is my first day on the job. And so it's kind of a similar story as far as coming into his own as a you know, doctor. He's a brilliant doctor, but, you know, confidence around these, like, hot shot, like, superhero doctors that he's working with, and he's really young, and so people don't really take him as seriously. So it's like he's kind of growing up as a doctor. So
who are some other members of the cast for this?
We have Freddie Rodriguez and Ken Luong and Owen Mackin as our lead. Jill Flint, and, you know, a lot of young up-and-comers.
Yeah.
Nice!
We're
really excited about it, yeah.
Well, you do know we have AfterBuzz TV, so we'll have to review
that. We will be covering that show.
Absolutely.
We're actually covering that show on AfterBuzz.
Awesome.
We will have Robert back on the show to talk about that.
I'll be here after my nap.
Exciting!
We're really excited for it to come out. Again, another long process. We did the pilot at the end of 2012.
Wow.
So it's been like about a year and a half for it to actually come out, and we love the first season. We're really excited about it. So I cannot wait for it to be released and see how people take it.
What kind of
secretive?
You really are. You never talk about it, but it's kind of like the Hollywood thing. Like, some people talk about their projects.
And sometimes
doesn't come out. Yeah. Robert never talks about anything he does.
But our relationship kind of involved me just popping up at random, you know, parties or whatever. So you're kind of just like catching up on life. You know, it's kind of douchey to just be like, oh, hey, I'm doing this. And
but I'll see you in like 6 months. They do it, though.
Well, I know, but, you know, I don't have the energy for all that.
Wait, did you say this new project, it's a comedy or a drama?
It's a drama. Well, it's a dramedy. And it's interesting because we actually had, you know, doctors. You know, one of our writers is a doctor that works at Cedars-Sinai.
Oh.
And so a lot of the stories that he was talking about were the, you know, the dark humor that almost goes on because you're in one instance pulling some weird foreign object out of somebody in one room, and then you go to the next room and you can't, you know, revive someone. Right. So it's a weird, you know, dynamic that goes on in the ER where you know, when you're walking from one room to the next, you're telling weird jokes, but then you're trying to save somebody's life.
Oh.
So it's all kind of mixed together in this weird, you know, dark humor / you know, drama and love, and it's all like a little bubble that goes on in the ER. So
sounds like Scrubs meets Grey's Anatomy.
Right? There's like a lot of meets ER, meets MASH, meets, you know, everything is going on in there. So
I was gonna ask you to prepare for it. Did you watch a lot of like of those kind of shows, or did you go to the hospital
preparation?
You're such a method actor.
Yeah, right. You know, well, like I said, we had doctors that actually worked on the show and wrote for the show, and nurse techs. So we had to go to medical school. And we learned how to suture. We learned. We learned. I'm terrible at it. Don't be impressed.
Well, you could say someone lying.
I actually know some procedures that I would completely botch, but like I could technically.
Okay, never mind.
Do that. Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't actually want me doing it, but if there's nobody else around, I could try.
No.
exactly. But so we did study a bit before the film, and then they were amazing as far as every episode. Whenever we had some sort of crazy, you know, medical terms, they would break it down for us, what it meant, you know, how to pronounce it, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then they were always on set to, like, check how we would do things, what was, you know, a realistic way to go about certain things, and then you kind of work around that.
I'm curious that there might have been a lot of takes with those, like, medical terminology scenes, and you're just like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends. Like, there are certain scenes where you got, like, 5 different things going on, because, again, that's another element of being in the ER. You're doing 50 million things at once, and so, you know, you have all these terms that you don't really know what they mean. You're just kind of spitting out words at this point. And so that can happen, but sometimes it's just, like, word vomit just kind of comes out, and you're like, that just happened. All right. I just saved somebody's life. Great.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we all cannot wait to see this new show. Did you have a...
I kind of wanted to play a little game with Robert where he gives us kind of like this 5-minute summary wrap up of the film, just so everybody can get like a lowdown, just in your words.
With a summary wrap up of the
entire
film.
And like less than...
Real quick.
Katana Taraji P. Henson wakes up. She goes on a jog. she decides she's a coach of the swim team, and she's really impressed with LaToya Luckett's character, Stacy, getting into med school with a high MCAT score. I feel like I'm taking too long on these things. I gotta speed it up. Okay, so she doesn't want to be the coach of the swim team anymore because she has a connection to golf, and she finds out there's going to be a new golf team. Henry Simmons is introduced as an old... is introduced as a new athletic director. His father is, you know, I'm going to skip that. Yeah. Anyways, he's introduced. They're bringing on a golf team. Katana volunteers to take over the golf team. There are no scholarships that she's offered, so she has to go international to find team members. Find players. Because of the caddy system, there aren't enough black players, so she finds me because I'm just randomly around and awkward and earnest. I'm going with it. So then she goes international and finds all these people from random places on the streets. or like random people that nobody wants, and we come together as a team.
That's beautiful.
Bond.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I wrapped it up. I spent way too much time on the beginning of the movie. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. Go see it if you want to know what happens.
Yeah, go play for the ticket.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say one thing. Robert, I give you kudos because you're picking such great parts from new show and then just inspirational characters, and that's really great to see a young actor coming up choosing such well-to-do projects that are really going to impact other young actors coming
up. Yeah, hopefully. I hope so.
So, kudos.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well,
that's amazing.
Where can we find you on social media? Are you like on Twitter?
I'm on Facebook. Well, Facebook is Robert Bailey Jr. Twitter is I am Robert Bailey.
He just got verified.
I just got verified. Yeah.
Legit.
Yeah, so it's funny. I've had it since 2010, but I'm kind of a hermit, so I've never really used it that much. So the goal is to like be more active with people and speak to people and whatnot. That's the idea. So yeah, add me on there and I'll talk. I'll say something.
Now we're not letting you go before. I want to know three things that we don't know about you. Tell your fans, tell the audience three things that you know. Three things about Robert Bailey Jr.
I am 6'3".
Truth.
I know. I was like, wow.
Truth
I didn't take my
place.
Wait a minute.
We're playing truth or truth.
We're playing truth or truth.
Truth or truth.
Well, I mean, I was just trying to tell somebody something they didn't know about me. No
this
one
knows. This is not a dating.
I'm just trying. I like long walks on the beach.
Three things.
Look into the camera.
Okay. That they don't know about me.
Three interesting quirky things.
This is really. Oh, quirky. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm quirky. I think that's fairly apparent.
He likes polos.
I don't like polos. That's not true. I like button ups and cardigans.
So you're preppy.
Sweater vest involved at all?
That's funny. I was just talking about that. I don't actually own a sweater vest, but it seems like
that's
I
okay,
should.
You don't need one.
Yeah. I mean, like, no. Somebody was like, "I want to see you in a sweater vest" as a joke, and I was like, "Okay, I'll have to go buy one." But they just assumed I owned one.
Right.
You know. Why would they think that?
Right, craziness. So I'm preppy, I guess. I graduated high school when I was 15.
Oh, wow. Lead with that. Lead with that. That was a good
I had a lot of. You know, interactions with my teachers that let me skip school. Yeah, they were fun. Not at all. It had nothing to do with my academic skill, is what I'm saying.
So it's not because you're a prodigy.
Yeah, exactly. Not at all. No, I was not at all smart. It was just, you know, they liked me a lot.
His sarcasm is very, like, straight edge.
And what else is there? Third thing about me. I'm from Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay.
So not many people know that because I sound like I'm not from anywhere.
Yeah, they have black people in Minneapolis.
They do, but it's really cold. A lot of my family's still there. And it hurts your face to go outside because it's so cold.
That's why you moved here.
I moved here for my career. I love Minnesota. Always rep Minnesota really hard. But yes, it's cold. And just, this is not interesting at all, but like online, it's always listed that I was born in 1990 and I was born
I
in 89.
That.
I was there for like 2 months, but I repped the 80s so hard and it's always upsetting for me that they list me as 1990, not to like knock anybody from 1990, but I was born in the 80s. Okay.
Okay, good.
That's just important to me. I just want to get that out there.
Those 90s kids, I'm like, damn, I feel old. You're
not really.
Damn.
I'm like, Robert can't hang with it. I was like, he really that young?
Born in 89, people. Okay. Jesus, get it right.
Gosh.
That's right. There's not much. I like books.
Let's advocate reading.
Yeah, I love to read.
Yes.
I've always read. You know, that's about it.
Yeah. I'd like to watch you squirm.
Yeah, no, that's what I shimmy when I'm nervous.
You should try.
Was there anything else that you want us to know about the movie before we go? Like anything that you know hasn't really been talked about in the media or in interviews?
I think Taraji has been interviewed quite a bit, so she said it all. But I think just to reiterate it, you know, it's a very big passion project for us. We really wanted to get Katana's story out there. Hmm. And so if you can go see it, please check it out because we think it's a really beautiful, inspirational story that needs to be told, needs to be seen, especially with, a female-driven, strong character, it's just a beautiful story. Go check it out, and we hope you love it and take the family because, we think young people enjoy it as well as, you know, anybody else. And I like the music.
Yeah, well, we here at BHL, we give it 2 thumbs up.
All right, no, 2 thumbs.
Great. 8 thumbs. Yeah. 8 thumbs.
I got really nervous when that was happening. I wasn't sure where this was going.
Like Gladiator.
That would have been the ultimate like turnaround. Like, well, after that whole interview.
Exactly. It was great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at Siobhan_Hughes.
Deanna? You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at It's Me, Deanna V. I also want to remind you guys, make sure you download 100% Real on iTunes. It's 100% free. Make your comments, rate, talk about it, tell your friends. Who's next?
You can find me at Erica J. Green on Instagram, Twitter, everything, Facebook.
And you can find me, Lena Green, at just Lena Green on Instagram, Twitter. And I'm not verified, but, you know.
Hey. And
maybe I can get to that status. Maybe one day.
And I want to thank Robert Bailey Jr. again for coming in. Thank you so much. We really appreciated having you.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you guys for watching. Please tune in next time. We'll be discussing another movie. If you have a suggestion, please tweet at us. Our ears are open.
Where should they tweet?
At
BHL.
At BHL, yeah.
That was such a hard question.
Where? I was like, we just did our Twitter handles. What are you talking about? So, yeah, do that. Yes.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.